There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 874, March 1st, 2021, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Rogers, March Madness signals the start of number 8 for His Highness. Your Highness Don Pedro goes back to Renault. The name has changed, but the face is the same. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Ferrari says no clashing between drivers this season. Max toning down his pro-Red Bull banter. Gary Sloan is out this week. He's taking care of some family business, so take care of yourself, Gary. I just want to remind everybody, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. Thank you. Hope all is well in Cali. What's the latest from the left coast?
The left coast is busy and active. We have IndyCar practice at Laguna Seca starting today, tomorrow, and the next day, and then Indy Lights on the weekend. Other than that, it's a regular day at the Palatial Studios with hot dogs and PBR.
Are you going to Laguna Seca?
No, I'm not, sir. I have a regular employer that expects me to be on time and on schedule.
Even on weekends?
You betcha!
Yeah, well, it's, you know, March is here, and obviously moi, despite a little headache, is very, very excited. And let me just briefly state my personal motorsports mantra, because we are in very exciting times. Back in 1973, which was also very exciting for me, when I started following Formula One, Jackie Stewart set the standard with 27 Grand Prix wins. And I'm sure you remember those wins. It was so far out of reach till the professor raised the bar again in Portugal 1987. And when he retired with 51 Grand Prix wins and then the unfortunate passing of Ayrton Senna, that was going to be the gold standard forever, or so I thought. Then came the Red Baron and the Red Car. His high noon in Shanghai, which gave him 91 Grand Prix wins, was never going to be equal, we all thought. As I used to say to my friend at that time, that even if Hans Christian Andersen was writing an F1 fairy tale, his hero would not be as successful as Schumacher, and that was how impressive and wonderful the Schumacher reign was at Ferrari. But time and circumstances change, and we move forward to, very fast forward to 2021. Whether we have a regime change or not in Formula One this season, when normal programming resumes, chances are awfully good that we will have a Grand Prix driver with a century of wins and pole positions. And I can't wait for it. As Satchmo would say, what a wonderful world. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? And I hear someone saying, I do GP2. Sorry, Mr. Rogers, that was the first digital sling and arrow of the season. What say you?
Well, it is getting exciting. Like you said, March has begun. We're 2 weeks away from testing. Every car release is coming up. Everybody from tomorrow till next week, we've got them all lined up, and it's going to be fascinating. and we'll see how excited Max Verstappen will be.
I am really looking forward to a few things. First of all, I want to see that British Racing Green Aston Martin with a German driver. Are you looking forward to that livery, sir?
I am.
That will be interesting and see how, well, you know, it's got a Mercedes-Benz engine, and which is something Sebastian wished he had for the last few years. And let's see what he can do. I think, you know, he's going to find a way to win races with that car. How many he will get, only time will tell. And I just hope they have a... I just hope this team does what they have been doing for the last few years, always punching above their weight, which has been very, very impressive. If they cannot win lots of races with Sebastian Vettel, then it will be pretty sad for them. See, the other thing I'm looking forward to, Mr. Rogers, is some intra-team rivalry. Obviously, Sainz and Leclerc at Ferrari is very high-profile. And I want to see how Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo will pan out. Both are very funny guys, very friendly guys. But, you know, when the lights go off, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And being a dingo, I think Danny Rick has an advantage. What say you?
Well, Avantage Mercedes, the biggest problem and the biggest frustration for all of the drivers will be when we go to Bahrain and Lewis Hamilton gets pole position. That's going to set the tone for the eighth championship. Come on, folks. They're the same cars as 2020. Once again, the talk will be, why is Valtteri Bottas at Mercedes? Where's Russell? But, of course, everybody's going to be looking at Sebastian Vettel, whether he's giggling or not. We'll see. But it's going to be more of the same, except that we will have Fernando and Vettel hugging and kissing each other a lot.
Well, you mentioned that Lewis will be on pole. You didn't mention that he will be like half a second ahead of Max and almost a second ahead of his own teammate. And that, I agree with you, will set the tone for the, you know, business as usual. But Honda has been talking quite a bit that they want to go out on a high. So is Red Bull. So we'll see what they can do. It will be very nice to see some serious cage rattling between Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen. And then, you know, everybody's eyes. I recently read a comment from Sergio Perez. Took him so long to say this, that Max is a great natural talent. And I think he's going to find out how good he really is when the going gets fast. I think Sergio Perez will do much better than, you know, the other, I don't want to say clowns, but, you know, Max made them look like clowns, Gasly and Albon. But I think, because remember, he was quite a pest for Jenson Button when they were at McLaren. Do you remember his one season with McLaren?
Of course. He thought that he was going to be world champion at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Oh, man, you know, did you read this news item about Mick? You know, this political correctness in this world is going totally out of control, and it's beginning to piss me off. Because, you know, here is this young kid, Michael Schumacher's son. He has his own family situation, which I will not comment on because of, you know, the obvious situation. And, you know, they asking him about his stand on racism and why is he not supporting other drivers and all that kind of stuff. And he basically said, you know, he has no comment on it. And they are turning that as no comment, as like he is, you know, second cousin of David Duke, which I think is very, very unfair.
I totally agree. The Mick Schumacher thing made me sick. These people, why can't they just report on who's fast and who's slow and leave the political stuff at home?
Exactly. And yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I ran into him at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix and had a, you know, selfie taken with him. And in 2014, I was at a go-kart race in, of all the places, Oschersleben, which used to be in what was East Germany. And then he was a very young kid. And I just did not even have the heart to talk to him just because, you know, of the situation. And I think it's ridiculous. And one of the journalists asked him, this was really, really bad. I mean, look, listen to this question to this young kid. If he has spoken to his dad about his F1 debut. I mean, are these people don't pay attention to what's going on in the world of motor racing, or they just want to make a point?
It's pretty sad, but don't ever dismiss full-blown stupidity. It's out there.
Yes, and it's sad. It's sad, especially taken into consideration time and circumstances this kid is racing under. Okay, so that was something else I just wanted to get off the chest. What else, sir? Oh, the other rookie from Land of the Rising Sun, Nihon, Mr. Yuki Tsunoda. Man, this guy might surprise a few people. What do you think?
Oh, he's going to surprise a lot of people. He's going to be like when Kamui Kobayashi first hit the scene and we were all excited and he was crazy. He was fast and he was dominant.
I think the first guy he may surprise is Pierre Gasly.
Which he needs to do.
Yeah, and if he can do it, well, you know what was really impressive about him in his rookie? I think he has only done like 3 years of racing in Europe. And they have really fast-tracked this guy, and he has delivered. But for him to win more races in this rookie GP2 or F2 season than the championship-winning driver, the aforementioned Mr. Mick Schumacher, that just tells me that this kid is very talented. How he will harness his yin and zen in a race car in a Formula One event remains to be seen. But can you imagine how wild the Japanese fans will go at Suzuka?
It'll be the Beatles, New York City, 1964, all over again.
Oh my God. Yeah, that will be very, very interesting. What else are you expecting from... Oh, do you see a pulse in Williams this season?
Yes, now that they have Chadwick on board.
Yeah, that is as impressive signing in as a driver development employee as... What's the name of this kid? Roy Nissany. And I believe he's also with Williams, right?
Indeed he is.
Yes, so yeah, they are maybe they are taking driver development advice from Claire Williams. Yeah, I used to love when she would talk about their signing, you know, how talented they were and how their work ethics are. Oh my God. But, you know, they haven't been in the news much in terms of some big name signing. Maybe I missed. I don't know. But I would love, because of the name of the heritage and the pedigree of the team, I would love to see them do well. You know, let's just hope they rise up like McLaren has done. Are you expecting race wins from McLaren Mercedes?
To be honest with you, I think everybody's underestimating the dominance of the Mercedes team. And I want Ricciardo to win. I want Fernando to win. I want Max to win. I want Sebastian Vettel to win. But we have a problem, and that's going to be Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, but you know, even when we had 10, 12 races in a Formula One season, there is always one or two oddball events, maybe because of a safety car situation or a rain or something else happening. So you always get these, you know, by the underdogs, like it happened to, you know, who knows? Lewis Hamilton might not see a red light, and he has failed to see red lights in Montreal and Monza. Maybe he may have some other issue like this, or some other driver can have an issue, and that can turn the whole race result upside down. But Ricciardo, to me, he's in the same position as Sebastian Vettel. I think he will find a way to win a race. It will be interesting to see who wins the race first. Ricciardo in the McLaren, Sainz in a Ferrari, or Vettel in an Aston Martin, or the Alpine Ace. I heard he won't be at the unveiling of the car or the press conference or the big shindig that's coming up soon.
That's correct. He's the date clashes with his pedicure.
But we obviously want to wish him well. We want to see him on the track. Yeah, first race is the night race, Arabian Night. I am looking forward to it. Do you know what time the race is on the West Coast, your time?
I do not, sir. I am a busy man. This is a hive of busy, happy bees.
That is very good, sir. Okay, sir. Ferrari at Le Mans. Do you like the sound of that?
It's about time.
Yes, you know, and people in IndyCar racing were going gaga because Roger Penske had opened a line of communication with Ferrari. And, you know, if you look, it would be great to have Ferrari in IndyCar racing or even Maserati supplying engines. I never thought they would do it because being in Indy will not do much for Ferrari in terms of marketing here. But at Le Mans, it will be very good for them coming back after so many years. And it's also very good for sports car racing. Ferrari's last win was in 1965, courtesy of American Mastin Gregory and Austrian Jochen Rindt. And you can see this car at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Museum, which is where it is on a permanent display. I think raising the profile by prancing horse on the Mulsanne Straight is fantastic news for WEC, World Endurance Championship, as it is called. And I think Ferrari's participation will attract other manufacturers also. We already have Toyota, Peugeot, and I believe Audi is coming back too, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and because, you know, to beat Ferrari in any race is a very good advertising campaign. So I want to see Peugeot come back and Ferrari and maybe some other makes. We'll see how it works out. So it's very, very exciting, you know. It will be, I'll tell you, once Ferrari is at Le Mans, they're going to get some good drivers, and I would be very, very interested in going to Le Mans with Ferrari racing. That'll be something. What else, sir? Oh, did you hear the news that fans will be allowed at Indy?
I did hear that.
Yeah, this is good news, and I may be one of them, especially if overseas racing flight of fantasy is not possible. You know, Clark, we're already in March, and this COVID nonsense is not going anywhere soon. And so I think we're going to lose another season like this, staying home, and like Carlos Ghosn. And we'll see how it will work out. Number of fans allowed will be announced later, but I'm going to decide pretty soon, you know, hopefully this month, if I'm going to India or not, and we'll go from there. What else you want to talk about, Mr. Rogers?
Well, the passing of Hannu Mikkola was a pretty big deal.
You know, that is so sad because last few years, I have run into a Finnish journalist and some Finnish serious racing fans, and my plea with them, especially I met somebody who thought he could put me in touch with these people. He said, I can put you in touch with somebody who can put you in touch with Mikkola. And things didn't work out, but because, you know, when I started following motorsports, my first interest was rallying, and there were three major events, East African Safari, Monte Carlo, and the Acropolis Rally in Greece. And Hannu Mikkola passed away on Friday, I believe it was, and he was one of the biggest names from the late 60s, early 70s. His main achievement was winning the London to Mexico World Cup rally, which was to coincide with the World Cup in Mexico at that time. He was driving a Ford Escort, and then he became, this was really, really a great achievement. He became the first foreign driver to win the famous East African Safari rally. And in those days, you know, it used to be between start in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, then, you know, with the usual problems in that part of the world. It now takes place only in Kenya. But it's a great event, and I follow it with a lot of interest. And for many years, it was no longer part of the World Championship, and I don't know if it's back in or not. And Mikkola, he also drove for, he's mostly known for his wins with Ford, but he also drove for Audi, and at one time with the Audi Quattro, one of his teammates used to be Michel Mouton. And Mikkola was World Rally Champion in 1983. And, you know, talking of Mikkola in Finland, the World Rally Championship was in Finland, you know, doing this rally called Arctic Rally, which was won by Ott Tanak from Estonia in a Hyundai. And 20-year-old Kalle Rovanperä was second in a Toyota. And this was a nice touch, you know. I read somewhere that an F-18 Hornet of Finnish Air Force did a flyby in honor of Hannu Mikkola. So our condolences to his family and friends, and I'm sure he's got fans all over the world. And also, sir, more sad news. This gentleman, Italian Fausto Gresini, he was MotoGP team owner, Gresini Honda, and he had, I don't know what other teams he had over the years, was a very well-known figure, and also used to race in MotoGP junior category. And he was battling COVID-19 for a few months now. He had gone into coma, came out of it, but ultimately did not win that battle. So once again, condolences to his family and friends. So not very good last few days for motorsports, unfortunately. Okay, sir, Formula E season opener in Saudi. Man, did you hear what happened in, this was happening in a town called Diriyah, wherever that place is. Did you hear what happened? This was new in motorsports.
You mean the Verline accident and...
Oh, no. That's all part of racing.
You get the innuendo. I just watch the racing.
Well, typical of that part of the world. In that town, a missile was fired and shot down by the local authority. You know, they got this problem going on in between Saudi Arabia and Yemen. So now there's a question mark about the safety and security of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. So I was very bizarre, but what do you expect in this day and age? You know, nothing surprises me. But anyway, back to the Formula E race. This was the season opener. Mercedes Car 44 syndrome has arrived in Formula E also. Nick DeVries set the pace in free practice, and he, as you may know, he's a Mercedes driver, qualifying and race, winning the night race from start to finish. His teammate, another F1 alumni and another victim of Nando, Stoffel Vandoorne, was 8th. Another ex-F1 alumni, Pascal Wehrlein, was 5th in his electrified Porsche. There are no American drivers in this series, but two American team owners, both with good pedigree. One is son of Mario Andretti, as in Michael Andretti, and the other calls Roger Penske. Daddy, can I buy a Variety magazine and a racing team with your money? And what do you think Daddy will say to Jay Penske?
I would have said, no way, son.
Yes, that's the way it goes sometimes. Okay, and yeah, there was some big accident, and one of the car went up in the air, and the driver said it was like an aeroplane crash. But good thing is everybody is safe, so that's nice. Aussie Supercar Championship. The opening round took place at Mount Panorama Circuit, home of the famous Bathurst 1000. Both races were won by Kiwi Shane Van Gisbergen. You know, he has raced here in the US also at Daytona, so he's a pretty good racing talent. And some sad news, sir, this was disappointing, but then again, what do you expect in the circumstances we are in? Isle of Man TT races cancelled for the second year in a row. Sad to hear this, but better safe than sorry, especially when it involves way too many people coming to an island. There's always tomorrow. And Mr. Rogers, you know, Isle of Man TT, you've seen this race on TV, right?
Many times.
I cannot believe how nutsy this thing is. And definitely would like to attend one year. It's just crazy, man, how these guys go close to houses and all that kind of stuff. Big stone houses, unbelievable. Shall we take a Diet Pepsi break or a Canada Dry ginger ale break?
Good idea, Nass. We'll be back after this brief message.
State troopers are on duty 24 hours a day. When one goes off duty, another goes on and may use the same car. Since 1972, more than 90 trooper cars using Haviland Super Premium All-Temperature Motor Oil were driven over 4 million miles. Of the engines taken apart, none showed any sign of unusual wear. With Haviland's formulation, you get all this protection without buying any extra motor oil additives. Get Haviland Super Premium Motor Oil.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world, it's time for Home Sweet Home. Take it away, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. According to Rod Stewart, the first cut is the deepest. In Formula One, it is also the sweetest. if your first Grand Prix win is on home soil. So today we will look at some famous wins that made the drivers and the fans totally elated. But like anything else, there's always an exception to the rule. We shall start with Monza 1966, Ludovico Scarfiotti. He was related to the Agnelli family. His day of days came at the Autodromo, driving for Signor, or should I say Commendatore Enzo. But this turned out to be his first and only Grand Prix win. His other claim to fame was winning the 1963 Le Mans 24-hour race, also with Ferrari. Sadly, Scarfiotti lost his life in a hill climb event in Germany 1968, driving a Porsche. His English teammate Mike Parks started from pole position, now that's going back to the Monza 66 race, and finished second. Parkesi, as the Italians called him, was also an engineer and later worked on the development of the famous and beautiful Lancia Stratos rally car. And Mike himself was killed in a road accident in Italy in 1977. Bob Bondurant, famous for his racing school in Arizona, was 18th in this race in a BRM. Okay, sir? Now we move on to a race that I remember very well. 1975 Brazilian Grand Prix at Interlagos, and the winner was Carlos Pache. The track is now named in his memory, his first and only win, and his fellow compadre, who was also from Sao Paulo, Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi, was second. Pache was driving for Bernie Ecclestone-owned Brabham team. Jean-Pierre Gerrier, your homeboy, started from pole position in his shadow but did not win the race. If I remember correctly, Gerrier had pole position for the opening two races but failed to win either of them. Mario Andretti was 7th in his Parnelli Ford and Mark Donohue retired in his Penske Ford. Now we come to a very, very popular win in 1978 at Île Notre Dame, Montreal, and the driver was Gilles Villeneuve. This was a very popular win, as little Gilles had made a big name in the world of Formula One in his first full season. As we all know, the track is now named in his honor. His bambino and champion of non-PC conversation, Jacques, carried on the family winning tradition, becoming first and only Canadian Formula One world champion. Gilles Villeneuve will always be remembered for that wonderful duel with René Arnoux at Dijon, and also for an epic victory at Jarama in the 1981 Spanish Grand Prix, which turned out to be his sixth and final win. Mr. Rogers, 1981 Spanish Grand Prix, I'm very pleased to tell you, I listened to this race live commentary in Francais on Radio France International, and there was a lot of excitement because I think five or six cars, which included Jacques Lafitte, who I believe finished second, was second in the race, and I think Carlos Reutemann was also in that bunch. Very impressive win by Gilles Villeneuve. And that Ferrari can be called a truck also. That 1981 Ferrari was not a good-looking car. Now we come to the exception, 1979 French Grand Prix. The winner, Jean-Pierre Jabouille. They say no one remembers who finished second. Unfortunately for Jabouille, everyone remembers who was second and even third, and hardly anyone remembers his maiden win, which was also the first win for a turbo engine in Formula One. And it's all because of what happened behind him for second place, and we just talked about that. Same race, same track, another homeboy, a la Monsieur Alain Marie Pascal Prost. This race was run in two heats, and I think it's because of weather-related issues. And Nelson Piquet won the first heat, and Mr. Prost took the second heat and won the race on aggregate timing in his Renault Turbo. So I hope people enjoyed this, a little bit of motorsports history. And I'm before the season start and during the season also, I'll try to dig up some interesting motorsports tidbits, which we can share with our members of the Global F1 Weekly familia. Anything else you would like to discuss, Mr. Rogers?
Well, that was very nice, Nasser. I appreciate all those points of interest and time because they are significant. And of course, Dijon Prenois is so important to all of our lives.
Have you been to Dijon Prenois, the track?
I have been to Dijon Prenois, monsieur.
Really? For a race or just to see the track?
For both. I was at a MotoGP race. I was at, there was a big hoop-da-da about Ralf Schumacher being in DTM, I think. I can't remember. It's all very fuzzy. You know, people forget Dijon is the heart of Burgundy. The wine is flowing. People are laughing. Women are giggling.
Yeah, Dijon used to do DTM races, and I have never been there, but I would love to go there and feel the spirit of 1979. That was interesting, very, very interesting race. Incredible battle between Villeneuve and René Arnoux.
Well, it's going to be exciting. Don't forget that our next podcast, 875, we'll see all the new cars, we'll have all this new data, and you're going to be even more pumped up than this week.
Yes, sir. I cannot wait. And I think what Sky TV does in England is they cover quite a bit of the preseason testing also, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, some of it will be available on YouTube, on the Formula One website also. It's just great to, you know, get involved with the whole environment, you know, even though we're sitting thousands of miles away, but to see these people, people who know what they're talking about, Martin Brundle and whatever, talk to Toto Wolff and Helmut Marko and Christian Horner and then Daniel Ricciardo and Lewis Carl Hamilton, your favorite driver. So yeah, it's very, very exciting. And how many races are on the schedule? 29, 30 or what?
Something like that. I don't know, Nasser.
22, 23, right?
I believe 22.
Yeah, I don't know if they will. Yeah, we don't know what the COVID situation will be. But let's get the show going and then cram them like sardines in a can, you know. That'll be very interesting. I don't want to have some sort of a nonsense eruption again and then they start canceling races.
No. Any chance that you watched all the action at Homestead?
No, sir. Unfortunately, not.
That's quite unfortunate. NASCAR has had new winners in every race, new young whippersnapper winners. It's been very, very exciting.
Yeah, I drove to a town called Kissimmee, which is near Orlando. My sister was driving through, so I went to see her. Ricola! So I missed the Homestead. So who's the new winner now?
I can't remember. There was Christopher Bale. If I go to my NASCAR email, I'll get all the good stuff that I'll report in our next podcast. But it's fun to see new winners. The best part is I got to see my first competition caution of the season.
Oh, did you miss them during the Daytona 500?
I did miss them during the Daytona 500. But it was fun to watch, and I watched Homestead from beginning to end. That's how thirsty I was for motorsports.
Yeah. No, I would have watched if I was home, but I'm really excited. They're going to have like six road races, and it should be fun. And, you know, Mr. Rogers, we would like to congratulate one of our listeners, Mr. Philip Pegler. His wife just gave birth to a daughter. So congratulations to the family and to the new edition, and I'm very happy for him.
He did indeed. Philip sent me nice pictures, and the young daughter's name is Valerie Pegler.
There you go. So we have one more Formula One fan in America. That's good.
We do. Unfortunately, now Philip will be very busy. He's supposed to be working on some specials for F1 Weekly. So I'm just going to tell him to chop chop.
Yes. What else, Mr. Rogers?
That's it, Nass.
Okay, sir. My thanks to everybody. Hope all is well. And motorsports, Formula One is happening soon. Let's get going. Boogity, boogity. Let's go racing in Bahrain.
Exactly, Nasser. So yeah, all the cars are coming out. Fernando won't be at the Alpine unveiling, but I sent them a cardboard cutout of Fernando from the old days they could just throw out there and it'll be a lot of laughs. But I'm telling you, Ocon was sort of happy that Fernando couldn't make it.
Yeah, this will force media to talk to him.
Exactly. So you could imagine the media frenzy if Fernando was going to show up. I understand what he's doing. He's coy, he's smart, he's intelligent, and he's trying to stay low-key. You know, he doesn't want to hog the cameras when he gets to Formula One.
You know, Ian, you probably have watched, but Nico Rosberg has a lot of, you know, videos on YouTube, and in one of them he's talking about when he was teammate to Michael Schumacher, how many mind games Michael Schumacher would play with him in, you know, team briefing and this and that. And, I mean, it's just hilarious the things people do. And, I remember, you know, what I remember most is he even took his number 3 when he came to Mercedes. And I think it's the same thing will happen with Esteban, whether he likes it or not. You know, can you imagine if they have a, if they bring both their drivers to meet the press, and most people will be asking questions to Alonso, and the question going to Ocon would probably, how are you going to match up to him? How do you think you will do against him? It'll be pretty brutal for Esteban.
Well, Ocon signed up for this, and you know what they say, if you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen.
Yes, and you know, well, you never know. I mean, on paper, he may do a Nico on Alonso, like what Nico did to Michael Schumacher. But Alonso has not been out of racing for that long, and he's been sharpening his fangs and teeth and whatever. Where has he been? Sports cars, IndyCar? I think he's looking at Ocon like a cheetah looks at a gazelle. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy. Yes, I understand what you're saying. I think we call that the cycle of life.
Yes. And he's saying, you are my lunch meat.
That's beautiful. Well, as long as Ocon learns, and he'll probably get some lessons from Valtteri Bottas on how to make a really good salad dressing. That's the key. You know, you make your teammate a good vinaigrette, and you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, you know, we drive a Greyhound over Bottas every podcast, but the thing is, you know, his only crime is his teammate. That's it. This is the driver who beat Daniel Ricciardo in Formula Renault Euro Cup. Okay, so obviously he's very quick, and he has won quite a few races with Mercedes. He was GP3 champion. He was nowhere to be found halfway through the season. The guy is very good, you know. If they take Lewis Hamilton out of racing for 2 years, I can assure you Bottas will become world champion.
Nasser, Gerrit Hartberger was really good. Mika Salo was pretty good. Eddie Irvine was pretty good.
Man, let me tell you how good Eddie Irvine was. He and Michael Schumacher joined Ferrari in 1996, I believe it was. And, you know, both came at the same time. And in the first race, Eddie Irvine out-qualified Michael Schumacher. Can you believe that?
It happens. Sometimes you have to... This is how the drivers catch the gazelle.
Yes. And then Michael Schumacher opened his eyes and said, you know, let me make myself a cup of Nescafe, and then we'll see.
It's going to be a great season, Nas. We're going to be laughing all the way to the track.
Yes, sir, and I very much hope that the U.S. Grand Prix takes place. I will get there one way or the other. And if I cannot make a run to Europe because of COVID, then my backup plan is maybe go to the Canadian Grand Prix. There may be some, you know, COVID-related issues there. And the second backup is the gushing sound from the Hermanos Rodriguez Autodromo. Maybe go there. Have a good time.
Well, on that note, Nas, I'll meet you at Bob Evans.
Okay.
So I want to thank everybody who listens.
Adios and gracias, amigo.
And I'll see everybody at the vegetarian hot dog stand.
Oh, now it's vegetarian.
Bravo.
You're going PC too. That's good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Good night.
Bye-bye.